This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by Harry's. For guys like you that want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com and get 5% off your first purchase by entering the code WOW when you check out. That's Harry's, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, and the code WOW for $5 off your first purchase.
I beat your face with my blood.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance Podcast, the World of Warcraft show, so you don't have to. Episode 375. I'm Scott Johnson. Right over there is Willie Dills Gregory. Hi, Dills.
Oblivion!
What's up? Wow, that was pretty good. That was no ho deer, but it was...
No, not quite ho deer, but yeah.
I had not read any of these Ice and Fire books previous to our time in Old War, mm-hmm. and I now wonder if they named ho deer after Hodor. You know?
Oh, well...
He's a big lumbering, you know.
They're similar in body type.
Right?
They both cast down ice from above. No, I don't know. I guess that's where it really ends, huh?
Someone out there want to fill us in? I have no idea. No
idea. I was actually tweeting at Robert Wing, who actually, I'll just say it now. I'm going to be challenging on Saturday. He challenged me. Sorry.
Hearthstone Robert Wing?
Match. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Zen style. Yeah, he challenged me to a match Saturday at 11 Eastern on World of Podcasts. I guess they do a thing. I didn't realize.
They do.
A continual kind of King of the Hill thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he tweeted out after finding about Naxx, what's the next one you want to see? And I clearly said Ulduar.
Yeah.
Ulduar would be awesome.
It would be, right? And doesn't it? I feel like that's the proper order, too. There's no reason why they couldn't just roll right into that with the next pack.
Sure. Yeah, just like do it exactly the same order that you have so many...
Mm-hmm.
It's worth if you do that way. So
the big irony this week is that Naxx news is some of the biggest news of the week.
And I know.
Ironically, it's got nothing to do with WoW. And ironically, you don't have a show on Monday with TAC, right? Aren't you guys off Monday or something?
Yeah. No show Monday. So might as well talk about it here.
Yeah, we'll get it out of our system right here. Terpster is not here.
Oh shit!
So except for that sound clip, I can play anytime I want.
Check it.
He is.
Throw him in there every now and then.
We don't know where he is. He hasn't answered my thing, so I don't know what's going on. Hopefully everything's fine, but he's busy man about town. It's a weird time of day there in Bristol, England. So if he pops in, he has been invited, and he will do so at his leisure. So we'll watch for that.
Is how they say it there.
That's right. Yes. Leisure. Is it leisure? Yeah. You'd say leisure here, right?
Leisure. Yeah.
Nobody buys a leisure suit.
No. You know that game Leisure Larry?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Leisure Suit Larry. Uh-huh.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah. Lawrence. Sorry. Leisure Suit Lawrence. Yeah. That was the one. Hey, so I got a lot to... I mean, look, I'm going to tell you early and on top of the show here that it was a pretty... sparse week in WoW news overall. Not that we rely on news, but it's funny.
Thankfully, Macaulay Culkin was everywhere.
Oh, that guy, he won't shut up. And thanks everybody, by the way, who sends us emails reminding us when something is going down in the world of Macaulay Culkin. We appreciate it.
It's good that you guys keep us abreast of the Culkin news, which the news cycle around Culkin is just constantly churning out stuff. So
I know he's a machine. That
Stick
guy.
To the subject, God damn it.
Oh, sorry, that guy. There you go. Rearing his ugly head.
I think he hangs out and just behind you, and anytime you get off topic, he's there.
It's like my trunk monkey or whatever that funny commercial was. Anyway, so I played a lot of World of Warcraft this week. That's the big news for me. I played a ton. Don't know what's going on with that, but made time for multiple, let's say four LFR runs. A couple of them ended prematurely because...
And this is with the newly boosted mage, I'm guessing?
One with the mage, two with the hunter. And the hunter was more like late stage wing stuff for Garrosh that I wanted to kind of get under my belt before I knew we were going to raid on Thursday. So that was a lot of that. For him, okay. but I am trying to work on that mage. I also spent a lot of time on Timeless Isles on Timeless Isle with both characters, just doing stuff I hadn't done, cleaning up loose ends, working on the cloak with GURP, which I never finished. So I'm in the middle of that again. I'm having this weird rebirth, and I played seven levels of a priest a troll what? Priest for I don't know why.
I have a troll priest too.
I never made a priest.
Like 45 or 50 or something like that.
No, that's so a lot higher than me.
Are you healing or are you shadowing?
Right now I'm just nothing because I'm just in starter area crap and
just one to seven.
Seven levels, yeah. Just to get out there and say, you know what? Like here's what I was thinking. I got into the game and went, man, it'd sure be nice if the trolls were getting updated. I mean, they are, but we haven't seen them yet, right? So then I thought, well, there's a troll. I don't have a troll right now. I converted my old troll to a panda back in the day for my mage, and I thought, well, what's trolls doing? Hey, I've never played a priest, I said to myself. Why haven't you ever played a priest, Scott? You never even cracked one open, not once. Like in all these eight, 9 years of Warcraft, almost 10, oh my gosh, 10 years of Warcraft, plus the alpha and the beta I was in, I've never touched a priest.
That's pretty crazy.
That sounds funny when I say it now.
Yeah, I know. Or they've never touched
me. They've never touched me. I don't know. It's good either way. But so I went and did that, and I don't know why. So that happened. And then mostly, though, the mage and the hunter and messing around with some spec stuff. I think what's going on here is I'm also spending a decent amount of time in the beta, which I usually don't do.
And the beta's getting you riled up.
It's getting me jazzed, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's doing some really cool stuff. So a lot of people are aware of this, but a lot of the spell effects and kind of general kind of milieu of the game are getting a major update, including character models, obviously. But they're also going to, you know, tweak out how stuff looks generally. It's particle effects and spells and casts and all the stuff that you're used to doing is getting a facelift, or a lot of it anyway. And man, the mage, Frost Mage that I'm running in the beta just is glorious. My gosh, that stuff looks so cool now. Even like Frost Nova, which is such a simple, dumb thing. And kind of boring in the regular game. That thing feels epic now when you fire that thing off. And the ice shards these guys get trapped in are way cooler than they used to be. And it's all real small stuff, but I appreciate the little things, the finer details.
Mm-hmm.
And that's working for me. But I do want to quickly, not review, but kind of go over my experience in the starting area, which has been... kind of weird. When the beta first came out or when it was alpha, you went straight to Garrison. Like immediately.
Yeah. That was pretty much all that was like there.
Yeah, it was weird.
And didn't really do much else.
And there was no context for it. And it's an alpha. I mean, I didn't expect more than that. I actually have something to say about beta complainers today here in a second. But anyway, I didn't expect any more than that. And that was fine. Get in there, see what's going on. Like the landscape, like the quest. Stuff looks fun. Whatever. Early Garrison seems interesting. Then they had patched it a couple of times. There was a period there where I could not get in to save my life because it was just down and up and down and up. This latest build, though... Although there may be one today. Well, anyway, whatever the latest build is, I couldn't tell you which one I was playing. It was a couple of days ago. They have pretty much the entire starting zone experience from, you know, a story perspective and kind of flow and event and what happens and how you get to where you're going to get to your garrison. So that big middle bit has been filled in for me. Mm-hmm. So I finally played that. Hopped in there on a mage, played that whole thing. And it is really, really rad. There's some big problems with it, but it's beta, and I'm, you know, there are obvious things are going to fix. Some missing sound effects, some missing textures, stuff that I look at and obviously go, oh, well, they just haven't finished texturing that guy or doing that
thing.
This,
have you noticed this before? Just that it feels more beta than the Pandaria one did?
Oh, by far more beta.
It's weird how it's, yeah. It's
I feel like
they're actually in there.
Do you think it's because they're doing it earlier or something? Or I don't know. I can't figure it out.
It could be. Less work was done before they actually just started letting people play. Maybe but it's just I remember the experience feeling fairly complete in beta. Just some weird buggy stuff, you know, missing a chunk of the ground here or whatever. Just some weird graphical issues.
Yeah.
But this is just this entire stuff is just not there.
Fast, busted.
And when you say the sound stuff, you know, you're going along and all of a sudden a thing happens and doesn't make any noise.
And I don't want to totally spoil a moment in this thing, but there's some really epic battle-y crap going on. And this is a little thing I'll say. When you see a horde of orcs coming around a hill toward where you're at and you need to repel them. I don't want to give too much away, but from a vantage point of way up on a high thing and just seeing these little things coming running around the corner, all those newly animated redone models are very, very cool. Like it gives the game a way different feeling when you're doing that kind of stuff. It's pretty
intense. That has had a huge impact too, though, that there's so much changing graphically about the game that it is going to feel buggier because there's more to figure out.
Right. You know? And there's more to break with those new stuff. Sure. Absolutely.
Just dropping new content into the same exact framework that you always had.
Yeah. You're
changing the framework.
It's a bigger challenge, I'm sure. But the funny thing is, there's this major battle. Again, I don't want to give anything away, but it comes to this crescendo moment where something amazing is going to happen. You feel it. You know it. You know they're going to have some big cutscenes. Something's going to happen. But because that's not done, or at the very least not in the beta currently, big yellow text across the screen just says, awesome in-game event. And that's it.
Yep.
It's like this little placeholder for this whatever awesome thing I was going to see. And I appreciate the humor.
Doesn't that make you excited for that, whatever that is?
It does. Now I'm totally stoked to figure out what I didn't see.
You want to see it.
But that early stuff is not a grudge or a drudge or whatever the words I'm looking for. It's not a grind. It's fun and exciting and interesting. I want to give Blizzard props for how they're letting you know where you need to go in the beta. So this won't be, I assume this is not what's going to be there when the game launches. And I haven't read anything up to find out for sure, but I'm sure it's not. But you walk into Orgrimmar and you're like, all right, I don't know where to go. If this is, you know, if your first time into the beta, you're not really sure how to get there. Do I go to Blasted Lands? Am I taking that portal? Like all these questions are in your head. But you go to Orgrimmar, you come around the corner in the main part of the city there. And standing there, and I forgot his name, the big archmage guy. I can't think of his name. Anyway, the human archmage dude in the story. Him and a giant tauren, who I forget who that is, are standing there in the town. I don't mean giant, like, oh, they're just big dudes. I mean these guys are like three-story buildings tall. Standing in the middle of Orgrimmar, just saying, you know, basically just begging you to go click these dudes. And it's so funny because to me it's like, well, normally there'd be like, go talk to so-and-so, or there's a question mark over his head, or what does the board say, or an NPC will run up and grab you and tell you to do something. Nope. In the beta, they're like, all right, we just need to like a big flag in the middle of somewhere for people to click on. And they chose to put these giant models of these dudes just standing like monolithic in the middle of the city. And you go click them and they send you to the war and then you go do your thing. And it's really, really cool. I'm super impressed, even with these bugs and problems. I'm super impressed with it. I think that expansion is more and more exciting every day, and I can't wait for the official release. And I think what I like about it most is, in some ways, Wrath and Pandaria and even Cataclysm had kind of a predictability to them. You kind of knew what you were getting into.
Yeah.
Story-wise or otherwise, you just kind of knew where things were going to go. This feels like the first real new territory. I mean, Pandaria in a lot of ways was very much new territory, but it also kind of followed a pattern we're used to. This feels like new stuff every corner I took. It's like, whoa, that guy's alive? No way. Oh, that's right.
Well, it's revisiting a lot of characters that were kind of just lore in the story before.
Yeah.
And now they're actually going to be hanging out with you.
Yeah, like a dude stuff you might have heard referenced in a book somewhere is now a fully fleshed out terrible guy that's up on top of some thing hurling giant fireballs on you and you don't know why. Like, it's brought these old things to life. It's also reminded you of things you forgot about, and then doing things with these already known properties in ways you're not used to, because again, we're splitting this timeline and they're doing something totally new and out of the ordinary, and you're doing it in a place that used to be what, you know, Outland is now. And I mean, all that stuff's just coming through for me. For whatever reason, it's just bleeding through, and that's what I want. So
that's awesome.
I'm really excited. I like it a lot.
That's cool. I wish that I had had more time in it, but my first few experiences were not being able to get in, basically.
Mm.
And then recently I've been able to actually get in a little bit, but I'm just a little bit behind where you are, clearly.
Sure.
So.
Well, just look for giant tall people in Orgrimmar.
Giant tall people and cutscenes that aren't there.
I had a guy
looking forward to that.
I had a guy on Twitter say, all right, I'm in the beta. Scott, how the hell do I find how do I find Draenor? I said, look for the tallest guy in Orgrimmar. And he's like, what? I'm like, trust me. And that was it. He was in just fine. It's cool, though. Digging it. And then I'm excited to play more. And we have some stuff toward the end of the show that discusses more of this stuff in detail. So we'll get to that in a minute. The LFR experiences I had were janky.
Well, they're LFR.
The problem, you know, I mean, the problem with Siege of Orgrimmar is that it is definitely one. It is definitely featuring things that are more complicated for a group of non-coordinated people who don't know each other.
Yeah.
There's this split toward the end of the second to last wing where you got to go do those warehouse things where you break open these boxes and kill these
creatures. That I've not done an LFR, and I'm not looking forward to the first time I do it.
It was 2.5 LFRs before somebody got it right. And
really,
yeah,
it seems like they need to make that one just impossible to fail at or something.
Yeah, something needs to be easier through there. I don't know what, but that's, I mean, that's the trade-off with this. And of course, you know, if you're a heavy hardcore raider, like I would argue, Dragon Soul was too dumbed down in some ways.
Yeah, a little bit. You start thinking though about some of the old fights before LFR was there.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel like there was no possible way LFR would have worked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was so much that had to be done. I've been thinking a lot about Naxx. I really want to go run Naxx again, by the way.
Just to remind yourself what the hell's going on
there.
Yeah,
just to go in there and just see those fights, even if it's just... I think the only way to make it still somewhat fun would be going with exactly four people or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. I think you need four people for the horsemen, right? So... Well, you probably don't need it at this point, but anyway,
you just burn stuff down quick.
Some of those fights, like having to the first big bug thing in the spider wing, you have to drag them around the outside edge of the room. You know, the big circle. Yeah.
Yep.
When it
you had to kite the big beetle around.
Yeah. 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 Kite the big beetle around, like that would never work in LFR.
No.
The
not,
tank.
Not well. I mean, the problem with this thing was real. The problem with this split thing was anytime you have to split off, right, and do that when someone does one haul, someone does another one, is you got to, first of all, make sure you've got good groups going. So, you know, two healers or three healers would go with one group and we'd end up with one healer in the one. We're like, why is there only one healer over here? And then we'd all die and then everyone would die. And it just got obnoxious. People would leave in mass and then a bunch more people would come in. And eventually I'd be like, I got to go, guys. This is stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah.
So, I agree with you. Like, there's some weird old, like, how would we do Magtherodon as a LFR group?
Oh, my God. No one would click on
this
stupid thing.
Wouldn't make sense. I guess it would.
No, I just want a DPS, man. That's what I do.
Sure. So I bet it's a real challenge for them to figure this out.
Sure. Yeah. They got it because you still have to make the fights challenging in, you know, regular rating, well, flex rating and heroic versions and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and then you also have to find this. It's really cool because Blizzard has made rating accessible to anybody and everybody. But the problem is that some people have only ever done LFR out there. And, you know, we don't know who those people are exactly, but there are definitely people who have never done a raid without it being this random grouping.
Absolutely. And that was their goal, ratings, is to get those people playing. Yeah, I mean, that was the whole point.
To get those people to see the content. Sure. But to those people, do you think rating is actually a fun thing?
Probably not.
I feel like there's no chance that it's a fun thing.
I don't know how it's... I mean, there's the chance of you getting loot, and that's fun in its own way, or that's the part of the reason you're there. But the fun of having a bunch of people you know and who are laughing and having a good time and, oops, who did this? And, you know, a wipe with a group you like is fun.
Yeah.
Maybe not the 50th wipe, but the first wipe is a pretty good time. Yeah. The first wipe, the even hint of a wipe with a group you don't know, is rage-inducing, depressing.
Not just that, but the rest of the people all start to yell at each other. It's like instantaneously everyone becomes really rude.
Yeah.
And
I've seen it where just one guy will die. One guy will die in a fight that's kind of hard, and then immediately five or six guys, typical LFR, look, I'm like, no, let's calm down until maybe 50% of us die.
I wish they only said things like typical LFR. Instead, racial epithets start getting thrown around. It's just terrible, you know? But
it's bad.
Somebody, Silver Wisp, has a good idea. Maybe auto-flagging an LFR. Now hit this, or now kite this. Kill the ads! Like, they could have...
They could do more, sure.
And stuff that would pop up to tell you the next action you are required to take.
Yeah, but I guess it's just a challenge as to always how much of that hand-holding do you want to do?
Yeah, obviously. You don't want to make the game a game that's just... Because there are some parts of the game that we've done previously, stupid quests where you have to make lemonade or something, right? And you have to keep clicking. It's like, grab the banana. Now grab the, right. You're like, bananas and lemonade. But but those quests are not actually very fun. And it just seems just like a different thing to do. That's right. All. It's just there to be different.
It's like a mini game or something.
And if it tells you what to do at every moment, it's almost like you're just playing whack-a-mole now. You're just waiting for it to tell you the thing and then you whack that mole.
Yeah.
That's not really that great. So there has to be a little bit of figuring out. And there still has to be some of that in there.
Yeah.
But there definitely does need to be a way for it to not feel so disorganized and hectic and then terrible.
Yeah. Dragon Soldiers just felt like you could just run straight through it. This feels like you do have to coordinate a little bit. You know, when Blizzard makes decisions about future raid content, it'll be interesting to see what they've learned. I feel like two expansions featuring this content late game patches in Dragon Soul and then early game for this, I feel like they've now got a base of learning that they can build upon.
Sure.
So what they do next will be interesting at the least. And with this pre-made group stuff and, you know, mythic level and all this other, you know, these new tiers, that says to me that they figured a lot of that out and now they're refining it. So hello, most iterative company in the history of video games, doing what you do.
Yep. That's do fine it with, some more.
It's fine with please. Me. Anyway, so that's what I did. I did get to kill. So I'm look. It's no secret.
You killed Gary.
I did. And it is no secret on the show. It's never been a secret on the show that there's a time where I get not burned out, but I get to a place in WoW where I'm like, oh, I'm just waiting for the expansion now. And I'm not really in the mood to play, or I get busy or something. It's usually spring, summer, early spring, early summer, right?
It usually lasts until the next expansion.
This is true.
Somehow, what's going on here?
I don't know what's happening here, but it got me so excited. So last night, yesterday was my birthday. So these guys decided.
Yeah, happy birthday,
thanks, man. They thought it'd be fun. I'm so old.
Happy birthday. Yes.
Thanks. I'll forget that last part. I'll pretend I didn't hear it. So I got to kill Garrosh for the first time, and I know at home you're saying first time. Geez, way to bring up the rear, Scott. Well, this is kind of how it works with, you know, the big third patch of the game of an expansion. I'm just kind of petered out a little bit. I think I was more engaged when Lich King ICC was a thing because that was a big deal.
Yeah, we were as a raid team too. We were hitting our stride.
Yeah, then, we were stoked, and we weren't going to finish until we finished. And
not saying that Furt's not hitting its stride. I'm just saying that was, you know, 10 man and we were a lean, mean, killing machine.
Oh, yeah. And I don't blame them. I blame me because I've just been out of it. And now
I've been killing Gary all the time.
Now I'm back in. We get in there last night. And that is again, old news, but that is a fun freaking fight. Holy crap. The mechanics in there are great.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. It's awesome. I really, really had a good time. And more so than, say, Thunder King, I liked it a lot better than even Dragon Soul in the final fight with.
There's a couple of. I thought that the Deathwing kill was pretty fun. There was a lot to that fight too, but there were certain parts of that fight that to me just felt like they're just extending. It was like we just need another phase to make it longer.
Yeah, we need this to be 10 minutes longer. Yeah.
Yeah, and that felt a little forced or something.
A little artificial. I agree. I hated how long that would be, and you'd be almost done, and then something real hard had happened, and then, you know, everyone got another 30 minutes. Like, that was one of the longest fights in the history of the game.
Take another stab at it. 30 minutes? Yeah, okay. Ugh, I got that.
That was rough. No,
but Lich King was a long fight, but it all felt like it flowed together, and each phase of the fight had it felt like it meant something. There was a reason for Lich King going into this new phase, and some of the stuff I'm sure some people out there are going, Deathwing was the best fight. Yeah. It was good.
It was cool. I mean, it definitely had some cool moments.
But compared to Lich King, it was not.
Right, I agree.
It wasn't that final boss kill that Lich King was. Yeah. You know, so
this Gary fight, awesome. Totally dug it. It's really fun to have read War Crimes before finishing this wing.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
Yeah, because that's just a trip because it leads right into that story. And you go around and talk to... Okay, a couple observations. Take down Garrosh Hellscream. Great experience. Everyone in the raid yelling. It's awesome. We were stoked we did it. Totally fun. The right length, if you ask me. The right mechanic rhythm. Like I feel like that was a scientifically solid piece of raid gameplay, that whole encounter.
Yeah.
Thing ends... You get your, you know, I've seen it already like 3 times, but I wanted to see the cinematic again. So I'm watching the cinematic. That all goes down. And I'm immediately reminded that the cinematic appears like it's being filmed, quote unquote filmed, in a very small space, like a like a room in a building somewhere. Then you fade back out and you realize you are in the biggest arena style giant hall.
Oh, it's massive. Yeah.
That you could ever be in. So there's a little disconnect.
A tiny little closet of a room at the, just for that little period.
It's really weird. Just something I noticed. And then also you can go around and kind of talk to all of the faction leaders. And on the Horde side, they're pretty stoked. You go over to the Alliance side, and this is not a spoiler, but leading into War Crimes and off of Tides of Darkness. Was it Tides of Darkness? No, that was. what was this, what was hers called? The book, the Theramore story book with Jaina. I can't remember now. Anyway, the one before this one. Yeah. I read it. I just can't remember the name. She's a grumpy old cuss, man. You go talk to her and Jaina says, I have nothing to say to you, Orc. And you're like, oh, all right. I'll just back away, step away from the Wookiee and not talk to her, make eye contact. And that kind of stuff was really fun for me to do. And of course, freaking Anduin is Mr. Chatty Cathy over there. Can't wait to say, you know, we all should just figure out a way to get along. And can't we just listen, Dad, I know you got that scar and you hate Garrosh and all. I mean, come on, buddy. I mean, there's that whole, his whole vibe is totally just like, let's save the world. It's just awesome. So I just don't think we give enough props to Blizzard for bringing all of that crap together. In a way that is cohesive and interesting, yet fun, and stories staying intact and interesting, and characters you care about being there. And it's just, I think that is harder than we think it is. And other MMOs typically do not do this very well.
Sure.
They don't have that fleshed out kind of, I don't know, that quality of total connected experience that this game seems to have. And even, you know, even in games I'm enjoying, like I think WildStar's got some great stuff going on, there's no real connection to any of the story stuff. It's just kind of there and it's cool and there's some stuff. And
well, yeah, but Blizzard has so much time now to pull from, and all of the stuff feels so much more epic because of that, I think, too.
Yeah,
and it's almost at this point like the WoW universe is like Star Wars. You know, there's just so much that we could pull from going back so far.
Yeah.
And so many characters. And then there's, you know, the books and the comics and all these other things that are part of the canon, but maybe not. But who knows? Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all one big thing and it's all meshed together.
Well, maybe it works well because these are, at the end of the day, these are simple archetypes. So
yeah.
Thrall is a guy you can get and understand and know what's going on in about five minutes. It's not hard. His name is easy to remember. He has a very distinctive look, and he's kind of a simple archetype. And you could say the same about just about everybody in that story, but you have enough time to pad those simple archetypes and build on them over time. You end up with what at least feels like a very rich tapestry of story. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if what the magic is there, but you're right. I mean, Star Wars does that. Star Trek does that. I'd even say Lord of the Rings is great at doing that. And even some of the stuff that, you know, I mean, WoW took a lot of inspiration, or not WoW, Warcraft in general and Blizzard in general took a lot of inspiration, aka almost straight up lifted ideas from Warhammer and Warhammer 40K for StarCraft and things like that. But
yeah.
they added something that neither of those ever had. They had these convoluted storylines with characters that didn't feel personal, or that you couldn't get to know very well. It was all very distant. And they decided to take that kind of atmosphere slash tone or whatever, and then insert these characters that you could relate to immediately.
Yeah.
And that made all the difference. And so it just feels like you're at home in there. And it's, I don't know, it's incredible.
Yeah. You know, even someone like me, who's not a huge lore nerd and doesn't know all of the characters and where they, you know, how they were introduced and what they've all done before, they're still all very iconic. The characters are still so much, they're so memorable, I guess you could say, that you're not going to forget.
No.
Some of these people, and you're gonna, and even if your experience as someone who doesn't read all the stuff and all you care about is just, I just want to min max my character and do all the raids, but like, even if that's your thing,
yeah,
you're not gonna forget Illidan and Lich King and all, you know what I mean? You're not gonna forget any of these people.
You're not prepared. Exactly.
They're there. Yeah.
Yeah. They're there whether you like it or not.
Oh, I was prepared, but yeah.
A reminder, you'll be doing this World of Podcast thing Saturday at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
You and Robert
I believe
Wing
it'll be live streams. Yeah. I'll tweet it out and all that stuff.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I guess Robert's won a couple of matches already. I kind of am half-assing it because I didn't really do any research on his decks or anything. And
right.
I just grabbed the decks that I am having fun playing. So I don't know if I'm actually going to be very competitive, but... Mm. I don't know. I'll play as good as I can, and we'll see how it goes.
My money's on you. I think you do fine.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Let's see what the over-under
is. I'll just say this. The decks I've chosen are not the strongest current decks in the meta.
Okay.
But they're just fun to play, and so that's what I'm going for. I'm just going to have a good time. And, you know, whatever. If I was going into, like, a tournament with cash on the line,
yeah,
I'd probably pick some different decks, but this is a show match.
Yeah,
this
what else can you ask for? I understand.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm gonna show off some funky decks.
Well, I'm gonna show off some funky news. Here you go. Here's some funky news.
Big news. of the week.
Big news.
Big news of the week brought to you by DoghouseSystems.com, where right now you can get a Horde-themed or Alliance-themed drawn by Blizzard artists side panel for your hot new rig over at Doghouse Systems. Just go to DoghouseSystems.com/Blizzard. And I love their computers. I nearly make out with mine on a daily basis. Yeah. And it's going to...
On display, and they're spectacular, too, and they're excellent.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah, they have one on display. They gave one away. I gave a couple away that day, which is great. And, yeah, if you want WoW to look the best it ever can, that's a machine to have it on, but also just runs everything great. All my PC games look incredible. Go check them out today at DoghouseSystems.com, where, as usual, the code Henry at checkout gets you double the memory absolutely free at DoghouseSystems.com. All right, the big, real big news of the week is that Hearthstone gets Naxx. Both a date and a price. Did this fly with your prediction? It's next Tuesday.
The 15th was my, or actually, so I originally predicted it was going to be like August 1st, right?
Yeah.
And then seeing the rate that they were putting the cards out, I amended it to be the 15th.
Plus, they had that gummy bear thing, which was just a ruse.
That didn't factor at all. Yeah, that was, I'm 100% positive Yang Wu does not know about National Gummy Worm Day. It's not even Gummy Bear Day, by the way. It was Gummy Worm Day.
Oh, really?
I didn't know. Why are there two separate days? Are they really, they can't just have gummy candy day and just
consolidate, man. Jeez, yeah. What are you going to have? Martin Luther King Jr. and Senior Day? Come on.
And Senior Day? Come on.
Come on, buddy.
Come on. Yeah. but anyway, I thought the 15th, just because of the rate that they're releasing the new cards, it just seemed like it was going to fit right in there.
Yeah.
And turns out that I was a week off. So I think my new theory is, I know that a lot of Team 5 members listen to the Angry Chicken.
Yeah.
And I think they were just sick of hearing about this Dillstradamus bullcrap. And they're like, you know what? We can give ourselves another week and we can screw Dills over. And let's do that. I think they put it out a week later.
Yeah.
Just to spite me.
July 22nd. Here's the deal. So if you play the first quarter, the Anacrid quarter, it's free as long as you play it within the first 30 days of release?
They said it's about a month, but I don't know exactly what the full-on date is. But they're calling it the launch event. If you play within the launch event, that quarter will be free. Mm. And then beyond that, you're paying either 700 gold or $6.99 a quarter. Mm-hmm. There are four more. However, you can buy the whole thing in a bundle, which means if you have the first wing free, it'll be $20 to buy all the rest of them all at once.
Can you play this no matter your status in the game? If I'm a brand new player or a seasoned veteran, it doesn't matter, right? You're in.
No, it doesn't matter. What's going to suck, though, for you is you're probably not going to have very good decks, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be harder.
Sure. It will be. I mean, there's heroic mode, which will be way, way harder. Apparently, that's for crazy people. But the normal mode, my understanding is if you don't have decent cards. I've got decent cards, but
I think you'll be fine in normal mode. I think it'll be a little bit of a challenge, but I don't think it's meant to be impossible for new players. I think it's meant to be something you can do, but it's just going to be maybe I'll wipe a few times and then you'll do it.
Yeah.
Although wiping just means you lose. It's not that big of a deal.
This whole, we're trying to equate wiping with how it'll work in that game. And
yeah,
it's
good. But I mean, it really is. It's a mini raid. It's a solo raid. You're fighting raid bosses.
Yeah.
And they all have mechanics and different abilities and different cards that you don't even have a chance to play. So you'll be seeing cards that aren't available to you, and they'll be playing those cards. So some of these cards will be incredibly powerful.
How do you feel about the pricing structure? So it's 700 gold per wing or $6.99 per wing. Nobody's spending gold on this, right? That'd be crazy. Why don't they just buy the whole season?
I think there's a lot of people out there who've decided that they're free-to-play Hearthstone players. And I know a lot of people who've saved. At this point, if you've been playing since the game released and you've been saving your gold, it's not that hard to have 2,800 gold at this point. Mm. So, and let's say you have only the 700. You can probably earn another 700 each week if you really want to make that a priority, if you want to just grind out gold. You just do your daily and you win maybe, 20 games, something like that.
Yeah.
And you should be able to get there.
It'd be interesting to see how they do this, because $7 a pop really isn't too bad.
No, I'm just going to buy the bundle. I'm going to throw down the $20 for the next four wings.
So four wings, $20.
Yeah, it's $5 a wing if you buy the bundle.
That sounds like a bad TGI Fridays menu item, doesn't it?
You buy the bundle, $5 a wing.
$5 a wing, four wings. Enjoy.
That's Yeah. No, that's not a good deal.
That's a good price. This is a good deal. Yeah, $2 off. It's or $3, is it? No, two.
Yeah, two bucks off. But I think the whole thing is priced very fairly. For the amount of content you're gonna get, I think it's right in there.
I haven't heard anybody complain. That's the thing. One thing is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, they normally somebody will find a reason to bitch and moan about it, but this time it seems that everyone's happy with the pricing, and that means Blizzard found that perfect little price point. Yeah. I think they're going to make a ton of money off of this. So, you know, Pete, the excitement level around this expansion is incredibly high in the Hearthstone community.
Yeah, which is interesting since it's so competitive mostly. I mean, the game's most of the interest in the game has been competitive play. I mean, that's what you do in the game.
Yeah, that's I would say that is the visible presence. The esports factor of Hearthstone is definitely there, and there's a lot of people. You know, tournaments are starting to have huge prize pools.
Yeah.
But there's still a huge, and you can point to like our show, The Angry Chicken, being the number one Hearthstone podcast, rather than some of the shows that only focus on the super competitive high end play.
Yeah.
Whereas we focus kind of on all of it.
Yeah. It's a good idea. It's worked for the instance pretty well. I think it's a good plan.
There's more people playing casually. You just don't hear about them. You don't see them in tournaments and stuff. So, but there's a ton of people out there who just want to log in every day and play a couple games of Hearthstone.
Yeah, even if it's against AI, they don't care. They just want to get in there.
They just want to play some weird deck that no one's ever thought of except for them. And, you know, it features the Goldshire Footman and the crazy Goldshire Footman combos. I don't even know what those might be, but, you know, just whatever crappy cards that they wanted to play that they thought were fun to play. And that's how most people are playing this game. So those people are excited to be able to do this because let's say you're a casual player. This is the first chance you're going to be able to play not the practice mode AI, which is terrible.
Right.
But you're going to be able to actually play against AI and play solo that is going to actually have a little bit of a challenge to it and be a little more fun and a little more involved.
A little more rewarding as well. Yeah.
And rewarding, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get cards at the end of the wings and you know, you'll be able to earn special stuff based on doing these class specific things. So there's just a lot of cool stuff going in. There's heroic mode, there's class specific stuff, and then there's the regular mode. So it's a lot of content.
Yeah, I agree. That's great. So watch for that. That'll again be next Tuesday, 22nd.
Like I said, I want to go run Nax and WoW at some point before then.
Just feel the nostalgia of what you're going to see and
So I'm going to try to find a moment where I can actually do that. We'll see because I'll be in Texas all weekend, but I don't know. We'll see.
Oh man, look at you with your busy flight schedule. Yeah,
and if I do that, I'll be in AIE. So anybody out there who's in the green wall and they see me pop up and say, hey, who wants to go run next? Come along.
Yeah. Maybe we'll live stream something. I wouldn't mind seeing all that again.
Not really going to plan it out because I don't know when it's going to happen. So.
Just go down to Dragon. What the hell? What is it? What's the zone now? It's in...
Nax is? Dragonblight?
Dragonblight. Everyone head to Dragonblight.
Everyone go there now and wait.
The most depressing zone in all of Wrath. Oh my gosh. That game killed me. I know, I still liked it.
Yeah, there's a lot of like BDSM stuff going on down there. I think.
Yep. And walruses fishing. They had both those things. You can't have one without the other. There needs to be balance in the world. The Meeting Stone is going away in the news at BlizzCon anyway. Not in the game. You'll still have those in the game.
This the first time I said, wait a minute. What? Yeah,
I know, right? It seemed a little more earth-shattering. You're like, whoa, can't take those out of the game. But no, they're just taking it out of BlizzCon. So if you've been to BlizzCon in years past, you see the big old Meeting Stone, big old replica of what it looks like to have a Meeting Stone in real life. And you would supposedly, the idea was to go meet up with friends or guildies or even strangers and come up with plans and hang out and do whatever. And they've decided that that was not a great idea or kind of dumb. And that people generally plan this sort of thing in advance over forums and other social media anyway. So that's what they're recommending you do. No more big stone in the middle of the play. And they're not even bringing it to show it. They're just getting rid of it.
Well, you know, the big meeting stone in one spot has its good points and bad points. The good points being, yes, there is this big landmark that everyone knows where it is, and you can say, meet me over there.
Right.
The bad part is in everyone's meeting over there, and it's actually really tough to find the person you're trying to meet.
It's hard to
do. And this happens at AT&T Park, which is where the Giants play. Mm-hmm. There's a big statue of Willie Mays right in front, and everybody uses that as the way to meet up. They say, oh, just meet me at the Willie Mays statue. And then you get there and it's just packed with people.
Yeah, because they all have the same idea.
Exactly. It's the big landmark. So I've switched to oftentimes saying, meet me at the Lucille statue, which is a statue of a seal. And it's around the other side. And that seems to work
better. Mix it up some. Well, that's basically what they're having people do. The new meeting stone is essentially the forums. So if you really want to use that as a way to meet up with folk, then you surely could. It always felt a little weird to me. I was more interested in that meeting stone at BlizzCon as a cool replica of a meeting stone.
Yeah, that's really all I cared about, right?
Get a picture by it.
Yeah.
And but they're not even doing that. This thing's like in Chris Metzen's backyard now or something. I don't know where it is.
If you scroll down a little bit on the forum post, though, some people are saying, hey, but now all those people who cosplay as meeting stones are going to finally get people wanting to take pictures with them.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
Do you remember the thing they did? It was like 3 or 4 years ago where they had an area where you could meet with your guild, and it was based on different, all the realms or whatever.
Oh, so right.
And there was little tables, and we were saying, oh, you know what we should do is we should all just go have an AIE meeting there, and it's a little square for Earthen Ring.
Yeah, too small. Whatever.
Yeah, and let's just all have 300 of us just show up.
I want to say that was 2010.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's right. That was also the year that they were telling us we could no longer have a 7,000 person guild, and it had to be broken up into these sub guilds. Remember that? Ugh.
I do remember that.
That was a long time ago.
I was still doing the AIE podcast back then, and Warak was there Warak and Gufoni were both there.
Oh my gosh,
it's gone. Yeah,
these names. Freaking me out. Stuff's starting to feel nostalgic in my own damn community.
Thin, Gufoni. Yeah.
All right. It's crazy. What was that Saturday group that ran with Gufoni all the time? I used to love that group because was it Saturday or Fridays? Afternoon Delight or something?
Afternoon Delight, yeah.
Oh, it was great. It was perfect time. We'd go and we'd run that freaking, I can't remember the dragon where you got the mount. Anyway, whatever it was in Dragon Ball.
Oh my God. Yeah, you go do that all the time. What the hell?
Why is
my memory so bad when it comes to this stuff?
One of those big Malagos kind of fights.
And then it became a thing where we would just go do it just because we needed one more mount for everybody. Yep. And then we were trying to do the, you know, kill him in less than whatever amount of time. Yeah. Kill.
All so, these achievements and stuff, post wrath. It was great.
I had a very specific, because I was tanking then on Paladils, I had a very specific macro that I'd created because, you know, you'd go in there and you just pull the boss and then the other drakes would start to kind of collapse on you.
Yeah.
And I had to Obsidian Sanctum.
Yes. That was it. Obsidian Sanctum.
Yeah, Tharth. Anyway, so I had to hit this macro and it would switch targets and then taunt one of them over to me. And then I'd like start popping all my cooldowns. And I could live for quite a long time. And basically, it was just, okay, now just burn them. And I had to keep all the thing off. And then it's like, oh, here comes the fire wave. And everybody's moving.
Yeah, that whole get out of the way.
Because there's a little island. So we all had to stand on the little island.
That
and then
rough.
You had to move in and then move back out.
It was bugged for a while. And there was some, like, it wouldn't show up visibly or something one time. Or I can't remember what the deal was. There were some bugs in there and they didn't fix it for, like, a month.
That was epic, though, man.
That was a hell of a time.
Friggin' fun.
There was something. Was really who knows? But Wrath is, I think, a high mark for the game in a lot of ways. And I have a lot of inklings that I feel like I feel like Draenor's got some of this kind of
we're gonna we're getting there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because don't get me wrong, I've loved everything since for different reasons, and I thought Pandaria is the best looking, feeling kind of epicness. Kind of overall expansion they've done. Second, you know, real close to what Wrath was, but I feel like Wrath just introduced so many fun new things to do.
They did. And the little one-off bosses like that have always been really fun. And I just hope we get more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Although the one that they put out after you killed the Lich King was just stupid.
Oh, that was awful. That was awful. We did that twice and I said, I'm not doing this
we're
again.
Like, nah, it's not worth it.
This is stupid. And you got, remember the gear in there sucked? That was bad. That was a bad thing. What they did.
Yeah, there was a couple of pieces that some people wanted, and then other than that, it was just a big waste of time.
Algalon was good. Remember that? That was good.
Oh, Algalon. Oh, that's why I want. That's another reason why I want Ulduar to be the next Naxx expansion, because I want that Algalon fight, man.
You gotta unlock it and get in there. Like,
Yeah, you unlock it by doing a bunch of other stuff, and then you can go in there, and then you can, you know, fight in the. They have a whole new map, and everything will get invisible looking, and yeah, it'd be
I think
great.
I still have the title I got from there. I think that's.
Well, now you know what I want to go back to Old Dwarf.
They did that last Saturday. They went on a achievement run. The FERT guys did all day. Well, not all day, but a bunch on Saturday. I guess everybody got mounts and all kinds of crap. So yeah, that stuff's always going on still. Do I really want to fight that freaking early bit though, where you? What's the tank?
Oh, yeah, where you get in the stupid thing.
I can't remember the name of the fight.
Yeah.
How can I forget? We only did it 5 billion times.
We've blanked it from our memories because we never want to think about it.
There's so much I've forgotten about names in there.
The thing is, like, I'll never forget Memoron, and I'll never forget Crazy Cat Lady.
Memoron, and trying to avoid those goos while you're running to Memoron again. And oh, this game. But,
you know, and XT and all of that, Yogg and General Vezax, General Vagina,
General Vagina Face. Yeah, he was great.
Definitely forget the stupid.
Still impressed by okay, who's the old giant stone old man? Ah, the one that collapsed and turned to broken stone when you beat him, and then you crawled over him.
Leviathan, Siege Engine.
Leviathan was earlier.
Somebody.
What was his name?
There was Freya. So all the like keepers was Freya, Hodir. I think it was Thorum.
Thorum was the guy that was like Thor with a hammer, and that had the split. You guys go down the hall. Yeah,
you're right.
I can't remember the name. It was all before that. It was the old. It looked like Santa Claus up there, made out of stone. remember the big fingers and like you had to target focus his fingers or his hands.
You're talking about the dude that then you'd fight down the hallway, right?
There are people at home going,
they're like they can't take it right now.
Kolagarn,
Forum,
Kolagarn. Yeah. That's it. Thank you. Gosh, I love that though. It was one of my favorite fights. It was cool. It was something you'd never seen before.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. You're talking about the dude that would swipe across the platform and stuff.
That guy was great.
The beams, and then you'd be like, "Stop running through us with the beams!"
Oh yeah, the eyeball beam. You cross the crowd, and everybody get hit by it.
What are you doing?
So much fun. Right before that, you had to. What was our thing with the balls? You had to work through the balls or something.
Oh, heal through the balls.
The balls. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, because the one dude, the trash right before, had the big ball that would come over, and we'd just be like, no, everyone just stand in it and heal through the balls. Otherwise, you had to all spread out and stuff.
Best
and
10 was, man ever, man.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Balls was our battle cry.
In the news also.
Oh, there's news?
This is reminisce week.
I thought we were just going to talk about
this. Just reminiscing about old crap week. Corehound is actually going to be a mount, and this is pretty exciting. If you get Warlords of Draenor, and you know you're going to want to ride the Corehound. You got to get the Corehound chain. It looks like a dream come true for people who've always wanted to hop on a Corehound and ride it. Likely, if I had to guess, going to drop off of the updated Upper Blackrock Spire revamp they're doing. That makes sense lore wise where that thing would drop.
All they did was they basically took the beast, and now they just added a little saddle to his butt.
They did. It does seem to be a new model though. Overall, the Corehound got a revamp, I think. Along with a lot of these other mobs.
It's much more detailed, but yeah.
For sure. Anyway, that looks fun. I would gladly mount a Corehound. And then a little hunter talk for you here. Give me a hunter talk. What do you got there for me?
Hunter talk!
See, there you go. Live on the show. Survivalist is now a new passive ability that's just on the beta server. Learned by survival hunters at level 10. Survivalist increases the hunter's chance of multi-strike by 10%. Additionally, the hunter gains 15% health over 10 seconds after killing a target. That's awesome.
That makes sense.
I love that.
Survival hunter should be something that can live through stuff, right?
Yep. Now, this is good. Give me some distinctions. I'm all for distinctions because right now, I have to tell you, if I'm going to make a complaint, all the hunter specs are basically the same. The things you do that make them unique are marksman a little bit more complicated. But like if you take Beastmaster and Survival, it's basically like wait until the thing procs. That's your goal.
Shoot that thing.
Yeah. Like do your kill shot or your kill command or do your freaking explosive shot. Do them when they need them. Keep it on rotation. Like there's not a big differentiation going on between those two specs.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the way that they should have it work is Beastmaster is have really strong beasts, right? That obviously makes sense. Sure. And then Marksman is kind of like a magey hunter where all your damage comes from you and your shots. And then Survival is the kind of jack of like the traps and, you know, having a lot of health yourself and all that kind of stuff. It's like the tricky traps. Utility hunter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like and if they can make those
all DPS.
So. Yeah. If they can make those feel more like that, I'm all for that. This feels like a nice step in that direction. And we haven't done Hunter Talk in a while. So that's why I did that.
True. I think there's some cool stuff. And I was talking at Nerdtacular with, I can't remember who, I believe it was like Tetsemi or somebody, but I was saying, I'm kind of hoping that the without the pet spec isn't the best spec.
Yeah.
Because I'll be forced to do it then, if that's the way it works.
Yep.
And that would just feel weird to me. But
I don't like that idea at all.
It's just, I don't know, man. I want my pet.
Well, I need Henry. It doesn't matter what happens. I have to do the one where I have a pet because I feel naked without Henry.
Yeah, Henry's not there anymore. What the hell?
Remember when I had to run Jeff the dog because that was the only way to ensure better DPS?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I didn't like any of that. Freaking Jeff. F Jeff.
Stupid Jeff. Jeff sucks.
Jeff can F off. World of tweets.
Tweets!
Tweets. Look what we got here. We got some tweets, and these are all from Muffinus because they were the best tweets of the week, in my opinion. Here's a question.
Stepping up for the Greg's treat.
Totally. Do garrisons have specific music? Someone asked. Would be awesome. For example, variations of vanilla Orgrimmar music. Yes, they have their own music, but you can, but you can get a boombox that lets you change the music. So you can get a boombox like toy in the game and switch the music around. Did you know that?
No.
That's awesome.
Better be a weird steampunky boombox.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Smoke coming out of it. And
either that or an old school giant 80s boombox. I put up to my head.
I want those speakers vibrating visibly.
One or the other. Yeah.
Yeah. I want some bad like equalizer crap lights going on the front.
I want to play my Adidas.
Exactly. And the chicken tastes like wood. I want all the good rap.
Yeah, the chicken tastes like exactly. Best rap line ever.
It is my favorite of all time. I love that song and I love that line. So that's cool. I like that idea. Color variation. Oh, by the way, garrisons have been pretty buggy and they say they've got some big fixes coming. Yeah, I was falling through the world a lot and like weird stuff.
I gotta say, I haven't messed with it too much because that feels like in beta for Pandaria, I didn't really want to mess with the farm.
Right. You want to go too deep, right?
Thing I got to do. I'm going to have to do this. And do I want to do this twice? Not really.
Yeah, I don't want to go too deep.
I want to do it the one time when it's actually going to, all the stuff I do is going to stick. So I'm not really messing with that.
Totally agree. All right. Color variation artists have made whatever you want for a fee. And that's, I don't know. This isn't really a question. The answer is more relevant than the question because the question doesn't actually make sense. The answer, though, came from Muffinus and says, I love the idea of dying armor like Diablo did. I get a little worried with user made content because we're internet people. Meaning, people make wieners and
Well, Blizzard's making enough wieners on their armor,
right?
They don't need to let everybody else do it.
Who is that? The Death Knight or somebody? Who's got the wiener?
He's moved to the side, and you're like, okay.
I swear they're going to move that. Mark my words, that gets moved. There's no way they're keeping that there.
Or accurately, what they should do is allow you to turn it left, right, downwards, whatever it might be.
Turn it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. Because right now, it looks like an erect wiener. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yep. A little higher than it should be, but I don't think enough.
It is. But, some men are built different than others. So maybe it's accurate to some.
So not all, Death Knights were made the same.
Exactly.
But just to the larger issue of user-made content or more customization, they do seem to be listening to that. There are way more hairstyles and face stuff coming.
Dying the armor is... that's kind of enough, really, to make things different.
It'd be so badass if they did that. Badass. That's one of the things I love about Diablo. I've got this great set that I'm working on right now, and to be able to just go make that all red when I want to feels, it's expensive, but it looks awesome. So more of that, please. Finally, what did Muffinus say about the holidays? Well, he said in a tweet, this came up in Raid the other night. People are like, I don't care about anything about this expansion except if they're going to refresh the holidays because I am sick of this same stuff for 8 years. Muffinus said on the Twitter, fun things are happening with holidays in WOD smiley face. Pretty vague, but
Yeah, they need to do something because the damn stuff is the same every freaking year, and it's just there's no point in it. I wonder how many people are actually participating at this point.
Well, hardly anyone I know gets into it anymore because they've done all they can do, unless there's some new reward.
Everybody did the long, strange trip, you know. Because
was that the rabbit one?
Drake.
Was that the rabbit? The chase the rabbit across the country?
No, it's just do all of the holiday things.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Like, I never did like that.
The meta achievement for getting all of them, right?
Yeah.
You never finished that?
I didn't because partly.
I'm missing Children's Week.
Well, Children's Week I don't have, and I don't have the slog that I thought was the Easter one, the Noble Garden deal. I hate that
Noble
one.
Noble Garden. Yeah, find the eggs and.
Hate it.
But it's just been too similar for too long. And honestly, the purple Drake was not really that cool. Everybody went and got their purple Drake, and now we don't care anymore.
No one pulls it out.
No one uses the purple Drake.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
We got Sunny D, soda, purple Drake. but it's just, it needs a kick in the pants. It needs something.
Yeah. That commercial's great. Mom's got the purple stuff. Oh, yeah.
Everybody had stuff in their fridge, right?
Yeah, everyone did. My mom did.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why? It's the Town Crier.
Ooh, Town Crier. Today brought to you by our friends at Harry's. That's right. Harrys. These guys are amazing. They're an advertiser I want to tell you about because they're pretty cool. They're an innovative company disrupting the shaving industry. Ibit. No, you're not Ibit. I just did a Harry's ad on TMS and now I've got him in my brain. Dills is what I meant to say. Look, we're dudes. We have to shave, right?
More places than one.
I know, right? So why not do it on the cheap, but also retain the quality. If you want to go buy some Gillette nightmare that's like, check out our new Gillette 4000 Fusion Monster thing for $90, plus the new blades are like $6 a piece. Don't do that. Go to harrys.com and get $5 off your purchase of these rad razors and blades and kits. Right now by using the code WOW, W-O-W. And it's really cool, man. I mean, it's like, what does it remind me of? It's like, I don't know. It's a good shave at a fair price. That's all we're asking. Sure.
That's all you really need. Although I think they missed a good opportunity to be called Less Harry's. But
yeah. Yeah, Less Harry's, that'd be pretty good. yeah. They're half the price of regular razor blades and have this great clean product design. I actually have a set and I love it. The funny thing is I don't shave all that much, but when I do, I totally pull this thing out. Lasts a lot longer. They're engineered in a factory in Germany. You know how those guys are. It's amazing. Also, the convenience of reordering stuff online, all shipped to your door. Everything about it is rad. Go to Harry's, HARRYS.com. Use the offer code WOW and get $5 off your order. Thanks, Harry's, for the sponsor of the show. Let's move on to the Town Crier, which is your calls, your emails. No calls today. They're all either too long or weird. But I have a good one to play at the end of the show, so listen for that. It's more of a statement than a call. But if you want to call and leave us a message, we'd love it when you do, so please do this and do it often. Keep them short and interesting. 206-202-3969 is the number. You can also email us your MP3 attachments or regular emails to theinstance@gmail.com. We do have emails, and we'll start with this one from Adam, a.k.a. Lethemar on Airy Peak. He says, hey, guys. Listen to your show every week, either live or on Monday morning, and it helps me get through the day. Feels like I'm hanging out with good friends. Since all three of you have played the beta, I wanted your thoughts and comparisons. I've played WoW since vanilla and recently been playing another MMO of the same genre and contemplating a return with or before the release of WOD. After hearing the new music, which sounds great, I started thinking about what do you guys on the instance think would love your feedback on the following. Think about Vanilla, Burning Crusade, Wrath of the Lich King, Cataclysm, and Mists of Pandaria. How would you compare what you've seen in Warlords to these past expansions? Looking past bugs or things like that. Specifically, environment, atmosphere, music, the general feeling well in the world. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. Adam. So, I would say the biggest surprise... Okay, so going back, the biggest surprise for me, outside of the initial, my first days in WoW, where I was like, oh man, this game's going to be huge. This is awesome. All right, so that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest next thing for me was the feeling of excitement and kind of dread that the Lich King expansion had. BC kind of did it for me in some other ways, but to me that was kind of alien and didn't really resonate as much.
Well, yeah, BC had the advantage though, stepping through that portal the first time, yeah, which was just epic.
That was something special. Way. Yeah,
yeah,
that was something else. But when it came to that, like a similar experience, I remember getting on a boat and getting my way to Howling Fjord, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming around that corner after the load in, the zone in, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. That is freaking gorgeous. It's like that's just insane. Such a huge upgrade to the environments and everything else. And if you remember, the draw distance was extended in that expansion well beyond what it was before. So you were seeing things you'd never seen before. And then going into zones like Grizzly Hills and other places, just amazing. That expansion still wows me. And going up there occasionally just for no reason, just other than to see it, is still something I do.
No, absolutely. I totally agree that the terrain and the way everything just felt and looked, the feel, they nailed the feel of that.
The whole Viking thing and all that. It's just that was hard to beat. Cataclysm, I remember feeling sufficiently like everybody's in trouble and we got to band together kind of thing. I mean, they've been successful.
It was also nostalgic too, because you went back and you saw that how things had changed. So
exactly.
That did have, at the very beginning of it, this really cool nostalgia feeling of wanting to fly over everything and look at what had happened.
Yeah. So then you jump to Mist, which I think is the pinnacle of what they've done atmospherically. Mm. Like, it just, everything about that feels big, epic, fresh and untouched, new. There's a spiritual quality to it. Just the whole Pandaren vibe is just all up in that. There's something really special about Pandaren, and there always will be for me. That's an amazing thing. But as far as how, like, what I've played so far in the beta compares, it's definitely a different feeling. I think the jury's out as to how impactful it'll be, but it is such an alien place that I'm digging that whole I don't know where I'm going feeling. And I don't know what this place holds for me kind of vibe. And I think I needed that about now. So
yeah,
I'm in.
I think what it's done too is it's got that feel of every time I get in there, I want to play, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
And because it feels so cool and special, that when I get into the beta, like when I did the Cata beta, I just kind of messed around and played Goblin and whatever, you know, and just screwed around in there for a little while and didn't really care too much about spoiling any of that.
Yeah.
This, I feel like there's so much going on and so much story development that I don't want to spoil it. And that's a really cool feeling to have too.
Yeah.
That there's just going to be so much to this.
I agree.
And so many, you know, just huge moments that are going to come. Mm-hmm. And I want to experience them fresh and when it's, you know, the game. And that feeling is actually really positive, even though I should be beta testing and reporting bugs and whatnot.
Right.
I don't want to spoil this game for myself at all. And I don't want to spoil this expansion. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's exciting. So I think to answer his question, I think it's difficult to get, and we haven't seen the entire thing, obviously. And I will be very limited in how far I go.
Yeah, it's also being released in little chunks too, right?
Sure. So, right now you can barely, I think you can't even do level 96.
I think 96 is the cap at the moment.
Yeah. So, you know, new zones open, new content will open. I'm not going to do any of that because, I mean, I'll see some of it, but I don't want to, like you said, I don't want to spoil it, but I also just want to feel that thing for the first time and you know, then we'll know more, but.
I want to fight over a kill with 30 other people the first day I get in there.
And a big part of what sets the tone for me is the cinematic, and that's probably, again, will happen at Gamescom, I hope. Mm. I'm very, very much looking forward to that. That will set the tone for the next couple of years for me.
No, that always is the thing that gets you kind of driven towards the ultimate excitement towards this new. But the look and the feel is all I really wanted to see and know, and it is so epically better than it was before. It's Terpster said it many times on the show, WoW 2.0.
Yeah.
And it really feels that way.
Yeah, it does feel like we're doing that. In some ways things feel a little more desolate, and in other ways more lush. It's difficult to put my finger on,
but there will be more NPCs and stuff.
Sure
enough.
Yeah, it'll be more populated.
Yeah.
Brandon wrote in about pandas and how well they fit in this new place, and he says this: hello there, Instance crew. Lately I've been consuming plenty of Warlords of Draenor alpha coverage. I think he means beta. Anyway, so far the beta footage looks incredible and has a very desirable gritty feel. However, the more serious warlike environment interferes with my monk, who I plan to take to level 100 first. I made my monk a Pandaren due to the look and lore associated with the class, but they feel really out of place in the expansion. So much so that I race changed my Pandaren monk to an orc monk. How do you guys feel about the Pandaren seeming out of place in Draenor? Thanks, Brandon. I don't think they will. I mean, I'm excited to take my mage there.
I can see what he's saying, but I also feel that for the same reason you could say an undead would feel out of place in Pandaria, right?
Good point. That's a really, very good point. Yep.
It doesn't seem like there's not really Forsaken in Pandaria.
And I would argue that they do feel more out of place in Pandaria than a Pandaren does in other warlike places, because I feel like if you're paying attention to the story, the lore, the quest lines, the raiding, the Pandarens have proved themselves to be kind of badass.
Yeah. They are fine with going off and adventuring in other lands.
They're not cuddly little stuffed bears, dude, like everyone feared. That's not what these are. They're a mean. I mean, sure, they're roly-poly and a little goofy and whatever, but there's this deep, you know, history and this honor system, and they fit in fine.
Yeah. Now, I see what he's saying, but I think you need to work past everything needing to fit and say that we've got an entire world here, multiple continents and lots of different races that all come from different places. Some of them are aliens and some are, you know, humans.
Yeah.
And it's fine. They're all going to be out of place in some zone.
In a weird way, it's game racist to worry about whether or not these pandas will fit well, you know?
Yeah, Brandon.
Yeah, no. You're going to go get surgery because you don't fit well in a, I don't know.
He did. He surgically changed his Pandaren into an orc. But no, obviously orcs will feel in place.
Sure, and they'll be fine.
And you know what, though, Brandon? You can never go wrong with an orc. So good job, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, Lorewalker Cho, he may be quiet and soft and whatever. He's kind of a bad A when he needs to be.
He is.
Same with the Brewmaster, what's his name, and the freaking Terran Zoo or whatever his name is. Those guys are all bad A's.
Yeah, they're all bad A's.
Yeah, they're not all.
Oh, is more of just he just kind of hangs out and tells stories, or he steals your spells.
They're not all Kiki or Jilly or whatever her name is, the little kid one. What's her name?
Lily?
Lily. They're not all her. She's not all that tough. I guess she's kind of tough, but whatever.
She's annoying as hell in Heroes of the Storm. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, she is. She is obnoxious in there. That game.
She gets a friggin' speed boost every time you hit her, and so you can't catch up and kill her.
Yeah, she's a bastard. That's it for emails. Thank you guys for sending those in. Again, just as a reminder, call us 206-202-3969 or email us theinstance@gmail.com.
The drop of the week.
This week's drop of the week is the rise and fall of features in World of Warcraft. It's a WoW Insider article that I really liked. I'll link it in the show notes, or we'll have Paul do that in the show notes. But it's this article that just talks in depth about, mostly from his perspective, kind of an editorial, but this idea that you started in the game in vanilla, you're still playing it to this day, and 10 years later, many things have been added and many things have been taken away. Things that were introduced as giant, amazing features, let's say guild perks and guild leveling, and now are being removed is a good example. You know, arrows for your hunter, gone. No more feeding your pet. Serpent Sting is now passive, of all things.
Yep.
Like, think of the craziness that our hunters are about to get. And this idea that iterative process, or that kind of evolution of the game, is seen by so many as a terrible negative thing, while others see it as good progress. I very much think it's good progress. It doesn't mean I'm not nostalgic for certain things about the way the game used to play, but it's a really interesting article, and I think people should check it out. I want to say who wrote this. This was by
Matthew Rossi.
There it is, Matthew Rossi. Mm-hmm. I like his stuff on that site anyway, but yeah, it's... you know, because it's and the comments reflect how controversial the whole conversation about this can even be. But I think a nice measured article about what these things really mean in the you know, in the lifespan of the game. It's interesting and it's a good read. So go check it out.
Yeah. A game that lasts this long has to do this, though.
Sure.
You know, you have to introduce things, try them out, and then you have to realize when things don't really work the way you wanted them to. Mm-hmm. And you have to be willing to do what Blizzard has done, which is say, nope. Ripping that out. That is not doing the thing we wanted.
And there will always be things that you used to think were great that something else was then introduced that hurt that thing.
Yeah.
So then you got to get rid of that thing. Yeah, you know, it's just so easy to look at it on the surface and go, oh, they got rid of that thing I loved. Well, yeah, but they also introduced 10 other things that you love. You just didn't realize that those deprecated the thing you originally loved.
Sure.
And they're smart enough to know that. So anyway, it's a good read. It's a good time. Go check it out. And that is... our show today.
That is a show.
Terpster was never here.
A show happened. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. He's busy. Got a lot going on.
Hopefully today. He's okay.
I'm sure everything's fine. You know, he's got a wife. She's pregnant.
But is she happy?
Sure. I hope so.
Okay. It's, good. It's happy wife, happy life, right?
It's his That's seed, how that works. Right? It's his seed. he did the hard part, so rest up to
he's
her.
He planted his seed.
Outside of your 11 p.m. thing Saturday, what's going on? No TAC on Monday, but anything else?
No TAC on Monday. We'll be back the week after. We did reach our first Patreon goal.
Nice.
So I believe it's July 29th. We will start doing the, whatchamacallit, the Google Hangouts, Google Plus Hangouts with patrons.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. So if you are a patron to The Angry Chicken, thank you very much. If you're not, become one and you can hang out with us on July 29th. We're going to do these monthly as long as we stay above that threshold. And I'm really looking forward to doing those. So that's going to be happening. And other than that, I don't know. Listen to all the podcasts I do. I do a lot of them.
Why not? And he's got sure all kinds of stuff. And his Wowhead stuff's really good. Check that out.
Oh, yeah. Hearthhead. Writing articles for Hearthhead. So I just covered two styles of Pally deck. And I think next week, a lot of people have been asking me to talk about Priest. And Priest needs to be talked about because they are not in a good place. But I've found a few decks that seem to work, at least for the people who are playing them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be trying to play them a little bit, and we'll see if we can get a nice article for them as well.
Well,
so
young and Prince Anduin will find a way, Father. Mm-hmm. He'll find a way.
He's just going to keep healing himself and stay out of range of your crazy combo. That's what he does.
Oh, Anduin. All right. There's a lot going on in and around my world. The finale, this season's finale, first season finale of the Diablo show is tomorrow. So tune in for that final 12th episode of season one, and we'll see what happens with season two coming up. Got a couple of giveaways to go with that.
What instance season are we in now?
We never did season, so we're on that early podcaster, this never ends season.
Season one.
Season one, episode 375.
Still going.
More episodes than Seinfeld, I think, at this point.
I can't wait till you can buy season one on DVD.
Right? I know. Oh, it's so weird. I also did a little controversy this week. I did a slash played video on YouTube, which some people have seen. And it was just for one character, for GURP. And I was surprised at how little his numbers were. He has been my main since late BC.
Yeah, it was like 60-something days.
67 days or 80 days or I don't remember what it was. So it's lower than I expected. So I went and did that mod where you can tell all your characters from every server.
Uh-huh.
It's like 290s. I forgot now. 290 something.
It's right.
Yeah, it was a lot more than I thought. And now there are people with mains where it's like 380 days.
And sure.
They're not even counting their alts. So I realize that's pretty soft core compared to many. But still, if you think about it, whew, that's a.
I don't understand. Is there some sort of EPing tied to just how much actual time you spent in the game?
For me, it was more like, ooh, let's freak myself out. And then a bunch of people are like, curiosity. Then I got both sides of it. Some people are going, how lame, dude. What kind of player are you if you only got no 290 day? Like,
I hate that.
Really? That seems weird. And then I made some smart comment on Twitter or smart ass comment where I said, yeah, the guy's telling me that's not enough days, has 365 on his main, and he lost a whole year. And then people are mad, like, don't judge us for spending. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, spend whatever time you want. To me, that's it. That's the end of the conversation.
As little or as much as you like, and don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Yeah, that's, I think,
screw everyone else.
Yeah.
F those guys. Like Jeff the dog. F Jeff.
Yeah.
All right.
I think there just needs to be more of an attitude of not giving a crap about what everyone else is up to all the freaking time.
Yeah, the internet could use more of that, right?
Why? I've been a long time supporter of not giving a crap about what everyone else is doing all the time.
Dills gives two F's what you think. All right.
Yeah.
So take that. Yeah. That's going to do us. That'll do us. That'll do us for the week. Thank you guys all for being
here. Done.
I know. I just got done. A reminder that Matthew Oxley does our music. You can find him at MatthewOxley.com. Our reviews and stuff can be found at iTunes or wherever podcasts are delivered. Go check those out and give us a review. We love those. Thanks to our intern, Paul Swickard, does our show notes and all that stuff on the site, which can be found at theinstance.net. Forums, show notes, archives, and more can be found there. On Twitter, the show is at Instance Show, me at Scott Johnson, Dills at Willie Dills, and Terpster at the_T. You can also find us on Facebook at /TheInstance. More great shows just like this at frogpants.com. Go check it out. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills. We'll see you next time.
Oh, shit.
Boop.
Some orcs can't take no for an answer. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Few people would associate the Horde with customer service, but it's a little-known fact that Orgrimmar does have a call-in help desk. But having the technology and using it effectively are two different things, and this was clearly demonstrated this past week when two of the few remaining Tauren loyal to the Horde tried to cancel their allegiance. The customer service rep who took the call was a Corcoran orc, and he was, shall we say, less than helpful. He spent the better part of 20 minutes berating the couple, demanding to know why they were leaving the Horde, belittling them for not seeing the glorious future that Hellscream had planned, and in general, making the experience as unpleasant as possible. He finally relented and canceled their membership, but concluded the call by wishing them a short and unhappy life. ODN contacted the Horde Public Relations Department to see if they intended to apologize, but they only doubled down, saying that the Tauren were, quote, just two more traitors to be hunted down and dispensed with once Garrosh is victorious, unquote. For their part, the two Tauren are glad to be finally free of a Horde that no longer reflected their beliefs or their honor. But they also report that they have begun receiving junk mail inviting them to try a new version of the Horde. The pitch? That this Horde is new, improved, and now is fortified with iron. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Buxley is an illusion. Buxley time, doubly so. Welcome to Buxley's Journal. Sometimes when you join a new guild, it's a little hard to identify exactly what the culture is like. Here's a handy guide to help you. The Raiding Guild. Thanks for the invite.
You're late.
But I just got invited to this guild.
That's no excuse now. Hurry up and get in this dungeon. Your team is waiting for you. You have to lead them through it.
I haven't even been in that dungeon before.
Oh, not a team player, huh? You're out of the guild.
The Crowded Guild. Thanks for the invite. I said, thanks for the invite. Thanks for the invite. Thank you for the invite. The Experienced Guild. Thanks for the invite,
noob.
The Clicky Guild. Thanks for the invite. Does anybody want to group up for a dungeon run?
No. No room. No room in our group. Nope. Stay away.
Who does he think he is? Coming into the guild and getting a group already. What's the problem with him?
Oh my gosh, somebody new.
The Young Guild. Thanks for the invite. Wow, I really seem to be a lot older than everybody here. The Dramatic Guild. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, I get it. You're with them, aren't you?
What are you talking about? I just started with this guild. I just got invited.
They've been talking behind my back, haven't they?
What are you talking about? I just got an invite from the guild leader.
Now I can finally reveal who's been doing all this to me. It was you!
Okay, I'm out of here. If you'd like to see what I'm up to, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter.
Welcome, this is Dedrin with another edition of Ask Amagus. This week's question is, why did hunters used to use mana? Normally, I would send this question to hunter expert Johnny Feisty. However, Flappy has yet to pay my referral fee from the last time I sent someone over. So I'll go ahead and take this one. You see, one of the first hunters came from a long line of mages, but he sucked at magic. He sucked so badly he used guns as his wand. It really didn't do much, but it looked cool. Other hunters noticed this and copied him. Before long, they all forgot the older techniques. Those techniques, including the use of focus, was rediscovered soon after Arthas was struck down and found to be much, much better for those hunters. Send your questions to AskAmagus on Twitter. And thank you, Buxley, for showing me that we both cannot pronounce the word magus. Apologies on my end for the word crime.
Hey there, Scott, Dills, Terpster. This is Buckhead. Big fan of the show. Something I wanted to bring up.
I hear you got a problem.
You know, every time I listen to an episode of the Instance podcast, I end up doing WoW for a few hours. And, you know, every time I listen to an episode of the Diablo show, I end up playing Diablo for a few hours. And every time I listen to an episode of the Angry Chicken, I end up playing Hearthstone for a few hours. The thing is, my wife has noticed this pattern, and she was wondering if you guys could get somebody over there at Frog Pants to maybe do a yard work podcast, because our front lawn is getting out of control, and I just have no motive. What? Yeah, okay. Jeez. They come and pick up the trash in our neighborhood on Thursday morning, so if you could maybe do a Wednesday night take out the trash podcast, that would be great. Thanks a lot, guys. Keep up the good work.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Reputation Boost, helping you gain that all-important reputation in the World of Warcraft. Well, we've come a very long way, but we're not done just yet. We have one last faction to make it through, and that is the Darkmoon Fair, and that's where we conclude our mini-series today. To get started with this faction, this is where it gets a little tough. A lot of the other factions have been pretty simple from here, but this one is a little bit different because we have to wait, first of all, for the Darkmoon Fair to actually be active. Once you check your in-game calendar and you know the Darkmoon Fair is going to be active, make sure you plan to maximize your time there and make sure you do everything while you're at the Darkmoon Fair. Play the games, do the quests, and that's about all you really can do. So the simplest explanation is to just go have fun. It's the fair. That's all you got to do. Just go enjoy it. And always remember to go visit Sage for your fortune. It will take a lot of time and a lot of visits, but stick with it and eventually you'll be able to reach the exalted status with the Darkmoon Fair. I have to say, out of all the factions that you'll go through to get the achievement Insane in the Membrane, the Darkmoon Fair does have the best benefits, with some pretty neat mounts and pets that you can purchase with all those tickets that you'll be grinding. So if you've been taking part in this mini-series, by now you will have been able to work through all the different factions, and you will now be certified by Blizzard as the Insane. That's right. So give yourself a round of applause. So go out there and wrap it up if you haven't already. Go get Exalted the Darkmoon Fair and get that achievement and that title. Thank you for listening to this little mini-series about becoming insane. We'll be back next week with another tip. As always, if you have a faction you'd like us to highlight, leave us a comment. This is Frosty, and may the light be with you.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, if I am going to BlizzCon, should I enter the costume contest? In a word, of course you should enter the costume contest. Why are you even asking? Making a costume is a very good way to exercise your creativity and to keep fabric shops in business at the same time. Just think, you can dress up as your favorite wise orc shaman and pretend to educate the peons or give the alliance a good smacking. You see? The role-playing possibilities are endless. But I must caution you, before you attack any alliance, make sure that they are not really Horde. After all, it is a costume contest. Now, do be aware that there are rules. Blizzard does not allow smoke-belching goblin machines, no gnomes under 2 feet tall, and do not try to exit until the con comes to a full and complete stop. I am Miss Melgra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh!
follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.